Dono on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
It is Dom time. I have the salmon shirt. That's for later, though. Today, we want to get off to a running start.
Ooh, outfit change.
Dave McCormick, get the pineapple juice. I'm serious. Texas people, before the interview, that will cut whatever it is. You know, he's been talking too much, over-talking, yelling at all these events. That's what happens. It's a real pitfall. He'll be here at 12:30. I'm fascinated. Because we saw the crypto stuff this week with President and First Lady Trump. $50 billion. McCormick wants to make crypto, Pennsylvania, the crypto capital of the world. But there's a lot of other stuff, too. He'll be here at 12:30 today. We're still waiting on the first actions by Tom Homan, at least that I can see, around illegal immigration. Stories this morning where President Trump looks to send the U.S. military to the border, if necessary, to curtail some of the areas that Texas has trouble with. It's a new day. Just one note yesterday, if you missed it, and I understand weather and the like, and a lot of people were there forever yesterday, so thank you. It was a spectacular talk radio event. So well staged, so well produced, and just a day that you will not forget. So think about the next one coming up. We're not announcing it yet, but in the near future.
Moot court debate.
Oh, with Linda Kearns, yes. Well, seriously, we come up with a topic. I'm ready. I know she's a great lawyer, but, you know, it's not just about lawyering. We won't be in a courtroom. We're in the court of public opinion, and that's where I think she has a disadvantage. Mm-hmm. So we'll try to work that out. Several things have happened today around this whole deal with, of course, the J6 situation. And I thought yesterday, I was kind of surprised. We still don't know the six that were only commuted and the others pardoned. I thought from the signals Vance was sending that there were going to be some people that would just be commuted probably. Not the whole group pardon. We hear there was a heck of a debate inside the Trump camp over whether to do that or not. And it's being received by the Trump base, I think, pretty well. And I wanted to get to that the one thing President Trump is very consistent about, you know, he calls it the weave himself. One thing that he's very consistent about is the Trump base. And that's why Vivek Ramaswamy is shuffling off to Ohio to run for governor. I'm sure running for governor is a stepping stone. Look, Vivek has already been in the presidential ring. He did spectacularly on his feet. He's brilliant and all that. But over the holidays, he exposed himself. Now, Elon Musk did it a bit, and Trump supports the HB1 thing, bringing these people into the country. But over the holidays, when listenership may be down a little bit, you know, and people are thinking holidays versus calling me at that point, we were flooded with calls. When Vivek Ramaswamy talked about, the line was, we need fewer sleepovers and more of these math Olympiads. And remember the whole array of things in which he showed that he didn't think American culture, by and large, was good. And look at where he ends up. This isn't by happenstance. Well, Tom, come on, you can't talk about that. That's internal inside. Oh, no, that's what happened. And they were fortunate. He is from Ohio, the governor's race. But, you know, he's already in Republican circles a household name. He doesn't have to prove executive experience or anything else. The only reason he didn't do better is President Trump was in this race. He more than held his own with people like Mike Pence and DeSantis and others in debates. But he showed his antagonism or it's viewed toward MAGA, toward America, and wanting to replace with all these wunderkinds, many of them from India. And I think internally that didn't fly. And I think that's why he's out. And I think it's a good thing. I thought it was personally offensive. And we made the point again and again and again. There may be five people in other parts of the world that could be useful in high tech or something else. Okay, prove it to me. This is America. We still have hundreds of millions of people, and we have millions that are the best and the brightest across any number of fields. So you can talk about all the failures, all that stuff, but you have to recognize the greatness that's there. That's why it's America. He did not. I'm glad to see it. 855-839-1210. You can get on board. Now, as far as the J6 stuff, I could go case by case. I don't know. I haven't seen what they've seen, but I think there are people that should have remained in jail. Now, we can go sentence by sentence. Were there things done here? Was there overkill? Without a doubt. Some people, it was a misdemeanor at best, and they're locked up just because it's January 6th. It was excessive. Scott Jennings made this point, sort of. He was under a lot of fire on CNN yesterday. Of course, they went to him around all this, and Jennings made the point that what about the summer of 2020? Cut six.
Audacious what he has accomplished, winning this election and taking office today, and I, you know, you said you were in shock. Well, Republicans are in awe.
What about the pardons? What's your take on that?
Here's what I think. Were these people punished? Yes. Were they ruined financially? Yes. Did they spend time in jail? Yes. Have their lives been ruined? Absolutely. And one of you said earlier, Van or Axe, that you think this sends a terrible signal that you can get away with things like this, as though we've never had a moment in recent American history when people were not punished for rampaging around when they shouldn't have been. It was the summer of 2020. And these people were actually punished. Those people were never even charged.
All right, that's an interesting point, and I share that with Scott Jennings. But are there still people that should have? I'm not going to, you know, gloss over this. Some of the pardons commutations, I think, are out of line. People did attack some of the cops there. There's no getting around that. So if you have a sense the provocation was enough, and you heard what Jennings said there, and he's accurate on that, you can tell me. I don't think you should, as we really are boosted here in the Trump years, I don't think you should take everything that comes out of the Trump, like anything else, as an article of faith. Feel free. You don't have to go along with every single thing. The best example was the HB1 visa thing. I'm on the other side from President Trump on that, and Elon Musk, and certainly Vivek Ramaswamy. America first means we don't need these people coming in displacing Americans. I don't care who says it. I'm on that other side. It says America first means that. And as far as police, I'm always going to stand with the police. And I'm not going to gloss over some of the attacks. Now, local news and some of the others telling us that cops were killed that day. That's not true. We need to deal in the truth here. So I would have liked to have seen a more surgical thing here. That would have been my wish with the pardoning of the J6 group. But to Jennings' point, any number of people here have had their lives ruined completely, almost completely, undeservedly so. And just pointing to the difference with how the Summer of Love was handled for George Floyd, there's a big difference. That's a smart point to make, to point that out. People have moved very quickly. I'm looking at a story that you're going to see more of this. The commander of the U.S. Coast Guard has been fired, citing border recruiting concerns and eroded trust, a senior Department of Homeland Security official confirmed to Fox News. The Admiral Linda Lee Fagan was fired by the acting Secretary of Homeland Security, Benjamin Huffman. They say that she has demonstrated poor leadership, operational failures, and an inability to advance the Coast Guard's strategic objectives. And they essentially say that she engaged in much more of DEI than anything else that made the Coast Guard a first-class organization. All right, so I'd love to get your take on the January 6th pardons. On a scale of 1 to 10, certainly there's an upside here that we've talked about, a righting of wrongs as people are continuing to be released today. But I just think it goes a bit too far. That's where it is. That's where it is with me, and that's what I'm going to say with every Trump policy. The star yesterday of all the policies are the things related to the border, and of course, close to home. The other thing is the wind hiatus, that we take a look at this, and then we make a determination. All right, let me give you the side question today. Given that Oval Office, a lot of back and forth, what people do to get to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue is huge. The White House, you can be a billionaire. You can be a several-time billionaire, but only one person gets to be president. Hit us with that all-time office, that all-time address, real or fictional. All-time address. It could be a fictional one. It can be a real one. But do call right now, too. I want to talk with you about January 6th at 855-839-1210. AT&T and Verizon Wireless. All you have to do is push pound 1210. Do you see this as a 10, meaning completely justified or somewhat less than that? A lot of people who were swooped up into this. It was revenge. They couldn't get at Trump. There was no insurrection charge, nothing like that. So they put people into a dilemma where if they lost on the misdemeanor thing, they were going to go to jail for a long time that was bumped into a felony, or were they going to plead to the misdemeanor? And then in many cases, they overkilled as far as the punishment. All right, so I'll take the North Pole off. Dan, how about you?
How about 30 Rock, an entire show Rock. Based on exactly. The address, 30 Rockefeller yep. Center being the headquarters of NBC.
Absolutely. Henry, do you have one?
Yeah, how about we take off the legendary work ethic of one fry cook, that would be SpongeBob SquarePants, his address of 124 Conch Street of Bikini
that
Bottom.
That is a very good one. Okay, that's a good one. All right, hit us with that. J6, we're coming to you on your calls, 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All you need to do is push pound 1210 on a scale of 1 to 10. Just tell me, if you think it's a 10, we can differ. I don't see it that way, but I get it in the context of what's happened here. A little bit surprised it went this far. Don't know the 6 commuted yet. Is it just, yeah, well, we're in charge now. We're going to pardon. Look at what Biden did. Remember, there were police involved here, albeit in more limited action than the Democrats and left would have you believe. And Scott Jennings' comments about the summer before, the summer with George Floyd, are certainly part of the context when you figure these things. All right, 855-839-1210. All right, Dr. Giordano Show, welcome in. So we have the January 6th pardons. We also have the awaiting the moment today where we start to see ICE move into operation. I did a national show last night, was told by somebody from the Heritage Foundation that due to leaks and all that, Chicago, they perceived it would be happening today. That's where we're going. So I do hope Homan is ready to move, and we see it start to play out. It's going to take about a year and a half, just to clean up the over 1 million that have orders to deport and or criminal behavior. All right, let's go to John in Northeast Philly. And John, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Good afternoon, John.
Good afternoon, Dom. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Dom, when you're a cop, a dirty cop, when you're a dirty prosecutor or even a dirty judge, and you're, you know, you're found guilty of something, or There's suspicion. Every case, every arrest you made, every case you prosecuted, or every verdict you came down with is in question because you were part of a, you know, you were corrupt. Well, shouldn't it be the same for these folks, these J6 folks, because that panel was way corrupt. I mean, why else would they get rid of all that evidence? They were part of a corrupt organization.
Well, but wait a minute. Remember, though, the J6 committee, they're not the ones that are trying these criminal cases. We have footage, John, et cetera, of this. We have now we have the FBI involved. We have the fact that the FBI was penetrating this with people. We still haven't gotten to the bottom of some of that. I hear you on that. But, John, I got to tell you, I got to be honest. You really think there were not people there that engaged violently with police?
Well, Dom, I'm not stupid enough to think that. No, I'm not. But I was reading up on some of these cases. One of these guys, Roseanne Boylan, got knocked to the bottom of a pile, and then a female cop started nightsticking her, and all this one guy did was pull the female cop off of Roseanne Boylan. I think he got like 7 years for that.
Well, right. Look, that's why I said surgically on this, John. And that's exactly right. And that takes a lot. I thought Vance was signaling us of that. And I think they have to talk. For me, maybe you differ. I think they got to talk more specifics. Give us the specific cases. We know these did happen. We know the only person killed that day was Ashley Babbitt. But again, let me put it to you this way, John. I am so pro-law enforcement. Even though the Capitol Police leaves something to be desired to a degree, that anybody engage with them, I'm looking long and hard at that. My conscience is on that. The other point that you make, though, there are hundreds who were overcharged, never should have been charged, et cetera, and they were browbeaten in an attempt for revenge on Trump, and there was no insurrection. It was never even charged, John. Is it too much?
Tom, I got you.
Yeah.
I understand. You know, you can't. It was just mass chaos. You couldn't tell who the good guys were or the bad guys. You couldn't tell who was in Antifa, who was an FBI plant. And that's all well and good. But there were two or three cops that right after that January 6th, they killed themselves.
Yes.
Now, I don't know, Dom. I guess you could sit around and over a couple of cocktails and think about maybe why they did that. But I saw one cop, and I was a cop. I saw one cop push a guy off a third floor wall. Now, you know, that guy wasn't doing anything other than climbing up the wall. Pushed him over a third floor wall up at the Capitol.
Oh, no, wait a minute, John. As a former cop, look, I defend cops all the time in the heat of the battle. I hear what you're saying, but when you're under attack like that, my gut instinct, despite the fact these are not Philadelphia police or something like that who are really under attack, it's to support cops. It always is.
Dom, I get it. I get it. I don't know whether I love cops more or I hate Democrats more.
I'm going to use that line. So, John, I got to go long and hard. I hear what you're saying in this instance, but I go long and hard in gray areas. Frank Rizzo always used to say, I don't need you when it's black and white. I need you in the gray areas. And most of these things with cops, they're under fire, et cetera. So, look, I would have been satisfied if we saw a list of 8 to 10 people here that we said, you know what, nah, they did the wrong things here. And the others, given the totality of what you're bringing to this and all, I'm in agreement. They should have been commuted and or pardoned, and a lot of them should have been pardoned.
I got you. All right, Dom, thank you.
Thank you, John. Thanks very much. That's it's the devil's in the details on this. And again, I know the Trump people were all over this, and I think Vance indicated to us they recommended that some of them know the sentence, relatively speaking, was just. A lot of people, excessive, though. And they've been in some harsh conditions in prison. They were trying to break them. They're trying to connect this to Trump. That's what it's about, more than anything. And I get Scott Jennings' point. What about the George Floyd summer and what we've seen here? So does that mean none of them then deserve the punishment it got? No, I don't think that's the case. All right, John, though, great call. As a former cop, And again, cops were under fire here. There were some people there. Now, do I know case by case, were these FBI plants, were the other people that were in there? There was some of that going on, without a doubt. Now, when Kash Patel gets in there, hopefully, we're going to see more of an accounting of the FBI and who did what here. But until then, this is a bit murky. So 855-839-1210, you get a line. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all I need you to do is push #1210, and we'll get you on board. As far as the immigration stuff, the border movement to secure it is well underway. I'm just wondering when Tom Homan is going to move on his part. And I realize the leaking, the differences and all that, that's a bit problematic now. Maybe not Chicago or New York. I'm monitoring to see if he's just waiting a day or so in order to have a better zone to operate in, because media is just waiting for violence, something of that nature, kids involved, to try to trash the whole thing. The big news yesterday was this, so that I don't forget. And Dave McCormick's coming up. Laken Riley, the bill passed on Inauguration Day. Now, you and I may think it's pretty simple. So what? This ought to be common sense. And Democrats didn't even fight a ferocious battle. 12 of them, 12 Democrats went along with the Republicans in the Senate. So now we just have to have the House and Senate come together, and Laken Riley is going to be law. Here's what it points to then, this dilemma. How is it that 12 Democrat senators, they're under fire? They feel if they don't vote for this in the midterms, they could be defeated. How is it Madeleine Dean, Mary Gay Scanlon, the Houlihan, all voted against Laken Riley? What is wrong with these people in the suburbs here? I mean, two of these Democrats were in Georgia. So Laken Riley there, you can imagine there's heat. But Sheenan was in New Hampshire. There's a guy in Arizona. Kelly is in Arizona. Mark Kelly. I mean, they're seeing the light. They're under pressure. I'm not saying they agree with it. They hate they had a vote that way. How in the world do we sit here, though, when these three women are able to get away with this? Brendan Boyle voted for it. He's in Philadelphia. How in the world are they able to roll the dice like this and say, you can't do anything to us? We're in the Philadelphia suburbs. We're for illegal immigration. We're for mushroom country. Now, I know the media is not framing it that way, but Laken Riley passed yesterday with 12 Democrats voting for it. That is such a big improvement. People are the smarter ones are getting it, that Trump won a mandate on this. America wants this done, big time. That's why they voted for it. They're afraid. And we won Pennsylvania. How is it we're in this situation and we just can't move the needle around here? All right, 855-839-1210. I'm struck, too, of how quickly they removed the commandant of the Coast Guard, DEI. Everything else was deficient. Let's go to Ira. He's in Deptford. And Ira, you're on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Ira, afternoon. What do you have today?
Good afternoon, everyone. I have an address for you that most people know by another name.
Okay, sure.
One World Trade.
Oh, yeah, the World Trade Center. Absolutely. Yes, absolutely. Thank you, Ira. Let's go to Brian in Churchville, Talk Radio 1210. Hey, Brian, afternoon.
Hey, Dom, how you doing? I just want to tell you that, so I live in Churchill now, and the reason I live in Churchill is because we bailed on the city. And during the summer of love, it was, you know, it was craziness. And none of those people got tried. And not just the fact that they didn't get tried, it's the fact that on Trump's end, they destroyed evidence, videotape evidence. And I just think they threw the book, and a lot of these people have been in prison for 4 years. Anywhere else, they would have got less time. And you can be pro-cop.
Wait a minute, though, Brian. Some of them, you're right. But you think nobody did anything that day that would be worthy of a pretty significant sentence?
Well, I also think if you find out, like if Cash gets in there and you find out that there was multiple FBI informants or if it was like the alphabet soup agencies and they didn't reel stuff in or people didn't have, I mean, there was insanity. Like, listen, I'm a nurse and I worked down at Pennsylvania Hospital at the time. There was insanity down the city. There was like basically National Guard and people firebombed pharmacies and took like basically to get narcotics and stuff. And
nobody's in more agreement. Nobody's a bigger enemy of Larry Krasner than I and the whole system there. I'm just saying, though, my instincts are toward cops, and some cops were attacked in this, and those people, I think, should get justified punishment. How about this? The bottom line for me is, and maybe you differ on this, I think the Trump people ought to come forward. They ought to talk about why all these were, there was nobody that they didn't commute or pardon in this. Does that seem fair?
Yeah, but do you also? I'm gonna ask a question to you too. Like just on the other side of stuff. If someone destroys evidence for your trial and you can't see any of that stuff, and people were able to prevent stuff from happening, I just think it's one of the few times where I'm like, there's like basically there's no repercussions and it went one way. And
I hear
it. You could be a pro-police officer and then realize, like...
I hear what you said about the J6 commission, but
He was honest that he was going to pardon people. And the other thing is, I think you're right. He might have not, like, looked at case-by-case basis, but I think as soon as Biden...
That changed it. Thank you, Brian. I take your point. Coming up, we're going to talk with Senator Dave McCormick, with us for an inside look at what's happening and crypto. That's here on Talk Radio 1210. Hey, looking to achieve your health goals and start the new year right, now's the time to optimize and support your heart health, cholesterol, digestive health, energy levels, and more with Rescue Natural Supplements with their New Year savings. Rescue is celebrating, and you can save 35% on single bottles of Rescue supplements. Use the code HEALTH35. Try the popular Rescue 1250 Omega-3. For heart health, Rescue Probiotic for better digestion, or Rescue Orezine for more energy. Whatever your health goals, Rescue has you covered. To place an order, call 800-26-ALIVE, 800-262-5483. Speak to a Rescue product consultant or shop online at res-q.com, res-q.com. Start your journey to better health. Do it today. Use that code HEALTH35. Again, save 35% on all single supplements with that code HEALTH35. Don't wait. Make this year your best yet with Rescue. All right, Dom Giordano's show, Big Issues, Big Guests. Let's go to newly minted Senator Dave McCormick with a lot to talk with him about. Crypto, big in the news, but let's go inside what happened at the inauguration. Senator, welcome back. Thank you for joining us.
Hey, good morning, or good afternoon, Dom. How are you?
Very well. And we heard you a little bit this morning. We're engaged in this. Occupational hazard, water down some pineapple juice. Try that today.
A little too much of enthusiastic celebration of making America great again. Yeah. So forgive me.
I'm telling you, when I go through it, you can be perfectly healthy. That cuts through it. You put a little bit of that in there, and I think you'll get through the afternoon. That's what I've had to do over the years.
You got it, Dom. I'll try it.
All right. Let us know. So, Senator, your observations inside there, one of 600 people, it was a great setting, a regal setting. I still prefer the outdoor, the majesty of it. What's your biggest takeaway, though, from the Trump speech?
Well, you know, I was standing about 15 feet away from the president, right in front of him, and you know, I thought it was a great speech. I thought it did three things. I thought he captured the state of things, which you have to do, that America up until this moment is in a state of decline, and we need shock therapy to get it back on track. I think the second thing he did, he was very prescriptive about what he's going to do. It was right out of the playbook, right out of what he campaigned on. That's not usual two inauguration speeches. There's sort of this soaring rhetoric. He was very prescriptive. Here is the promises I made and what I'm going to do to serve the American people, to serve the people of Pennsylvania. And then the third thing he did, which I loved, was he ended with the soaring rhetoric, the exceptionalism of America, the coalition he built among African-Americans and Latinos and people that are working in the trades, working families. And he said, I won't let you down. And I thought, while he was tough and held accountable to previous administration, I thought he ended on a note of optimism and unity, which is exactly what I think we need at this moment. And I thought it was well received, and I thought he did a great job.
So a blend, Bill O'Reilly talks with him, with the president, Dave, a good bit. And he keeps asking, what do I have to do to get on Mount Rushmore, so to speak? We're not sure if he really means a mountain or he means, and that's a good guidestone for him. And O'Reilly said the reason he called out Biden to his face there, he feels they went after the family in a personal manner, if not Biden, whoever was doing the bidding, pretty much in an unprecedented manner. And I think any fair person would say that's true. Well, do you just look past that and be polite, or do you call it as you see it?
Well, I thought he did both in some ways. I thought he called it as he saw it. The devastation of 4 years of terrible leadership. But, you know, he didn't personalize it. He basically said this is what poor leadership has brought to America, and then we need strong leadership. And so I thought it was, you know, it was the best of both in the peaceful transfer of power. And listen, in that, you know, you spoke about the majesty in that rotunda. You know, I walked in there, and when it's empty, it's magnificent with that cathedral ceiling and, you know, these statues all around you of Abraham Lincoln and Dwight Eisenhower, Ronald Reagan, and the great people that have made our country what it is. But to have the inauguration there and to have President Trump at this moment, you know, a unique president to have won in his 45, lost, and then won again, and to be the 47th president at this transformational moment. I mean, honestly, I had to pinch myself to feel like I'm part of that, and you know, want to do everything I can to deliver on my promises and President Trump's promises to the people of Pennsylvania.
So last night I'm sitting in nationally, and I mentioned that you and I had a conversation in the middle of it. You started talking about crypto, and I went, hello, what the heck's going on here? I saw the Trump meme coin and then the First Lady's drop. Now, I can't imagine, you know, I know this is a different vehicle. Can you explain how you would have $50 billion valuation? Are you savvy to that, how that happened with the president, that it's that valuable when he dropped that the other day?
You know, I really can't. I don't know enough to know how that occurred. What I mentioned to you the other day is that I think crypto and blockchain technology is the next great wave of innovation for our country. Other countries are competing for leadership there, and I've lived through a couple of these. You and I both have the mobile device revolution, the PC revolution, the cloud revolution, the AI revolution. That's what crypto and blockchain is. And the reason it's so important is because it's sort of reinforcing freedom and liberty in that it takes financial actors like banks out of the process and allows people to control their own transactions. And despite what some people have said, it actually is very helpful for our national security because it makes transparent when transactions are happening on blockchain, even though it keeps anonymous who's doing those transactions. So the law enforcement people really love it. So I think we need to be on this next great wave of innovation. And it's a big deal in Pennsylvania. There's thousands of young people who are employed by crypto firms in the Allentown, Bethlehem area and around Philadelphia. And that's something that I want to champion.
I know. It is stunning to me, though. It's right in front of our nose. A huge, huge story here. And that's why, you know, each time we talk, I wanted to bring it up again. So in addition to that, the other thing that's out there, wanted to get your, I'm not sure if it comes into any of your committees. Where are you with TikTok at this moment? Well, what's your reaction to, I guess, this holding pattern we're on right now as far as how to deal with it?
Yeah, well, I think it starts with it's a real threat. like a Chinese Communist Party owned TikTok, which has 170 million users, where they control the content. Most of them young people, they control the content through an algorithm where they're able to shape the opinions of people and have the data, mm-hmm. is a risk to our national security. So I think the law that Congress put in place, and even the actions President Trump took in his first administration, were appropriate. That's a real risk. Now, there's a law that was passed which essentially laid out a path for TikTok to, or ByteDance, the owner of TikTok, to sell to a non-Chinese actor. And that's the process that's being, I guess, considered right now, and President Trump's in the middle of it. And I think if there's anybody that can figure out a creative way to have TikTok still exist within the United States, but have it not be owned by the Chinese Communist Party, it's President Trump. And that's the process that he apparently is undertaking at this point. But in the end, we can't have the Chinese Communist Party owning TikTok, and that's the resolution we need to get to.
Talking about Senator Dave McCormick, now on all the committees you serve on, is there something relatively imminent for people back here in Pennsylvania that you want to bring them up to, that you're really interested in, going to be involved in the process?
Yeah, I'm on, as you and I talked about many times during the campaign, energy. I'm on the Energy Committee. President Trump signed an executive order. I'll be honest with you, I haven't read through all the executive orders yet. There was a flurry of them. But one of his executive orders was to declare a national emergency around energy. And the reason that's so important, it allows him to, almost overnight, reduce red tape, increase energy production, and increase the investment in energy infrastructure. And that's what we want to do, both through executive orders and through legislation that'll happen through my committee in the Senate. And that's, I always said this, that's the long pole in the tent of Pennsylvania's economic future. It's great for our economy. It creates these great paying jobs, and all the jobs that are contingent to those great paying jobs, restaurants, hotels, all the different things that it contributes to our economy. It's great for our national security to be an energy exporter, energy dominant. And it's great for the environment, particularly to have that natural gas coming out of Pennsylvania, the second largest energy producer in America and the fourth largest energy natural gas producer in the world. So energy is going to be at the top of my agenda.
Let me ask parting question for you, Senator McCormick, with us. President, I get energy and I get how that is going to make an impact. But what Biden has done here, what he has baked in, to really see progress, and this is what you guys have to deliver on, for new Republican voters particularly, what else is it other than energy that's going to debake what Biden has baked into everything in a grocery store?
Well, energy helps a lot because it's obviously one of the big drivers of the increased price, inflation.
Right.
The other thing is deregulation. I mean, the cost of doing business has gone up so much under Biden. Everywhere I went on the campaign trail, small businesses, farmers, small businesses, manufacturers, big businesses, hair salons, regulation adds cost. So if you can do two things right away, reduce the regulatory burden and increase energy production, that's going to go a long way to reducing prices for consumers. You add on to that new job creation. That's a big deal. And then finally, and this will be something I'll deal with right out of the gate, is we got to extend the Trump tax cuts from 2017. Listen, these families, the working families, have gotten battered by the cost of inflation. If you raise taxes, which is what not extending the Trump tax cuts will do, a family making $50,000 a year have their taxes go up by $2,500. That's a real burden. That's $200 a month. So those are the things that I'll focus on day one. But in the end, we got to bring great jobs back to Pennsylvania. We got to make a vibrant economy. If a Martian landed on Pennsylvania and said, what state could I be in of all the 50? They'd pick Pennsylvania because of its natural resources, its great workforce, its proximity, its natural resources. We just haven't been taking full advantage of everything Pennsylvania has to offer, and that's what I plan to do here in the Senate.
I know that's a mantra. I know that you're on it. Senator, thank you very much. Hope we get the clear up soon in your voice. Thank you for soldiering through, though, with us. We appreciate it.
You got it. Great to be with you, Dom. Have a great day.
All right, Senator Dave McCormick here on Talk Radio 1210, 855-839-1210. You get a line. Coming up, one of the things President Trump really went after that's caused a stir, birthright citizenship. Now, a lot of people have talked about this over the years. No Republican, though, and the Bushes didn't care. They're fine with it. No Republican really has put it in an executive order, really started to go after, and it's causing a stir on the other side because they're afraid that birthright citizenship is not the way it's been transposed by the left. That, and hit us with that all-time address, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. People do anything to be president. What's an address, real or fictional? Hit us with one here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, Tom Giordano Show. Welcome in. So obviously you heard Dave McCormick's voice. It's occupational hazard. You know, he's talking to so many people, crowded spaces, yelling every moment in a speech. God knows what.
Pretty bad.
So Mary on YouTube.
No, just she called in for this, Tom.
Oh, she called in for it. Okay.
Yeah.
So Mary, the couple things. One, the first line of defense, if you really get into that, and he can't do that at this point, but once he's off the clock today, just don't talk at all. Your family, whatever, you just have to do hand signals or whatever. The more you shut down your voice, the quicker it will come back. Two.
Yeah, Mary was so sweet, yeah. And she said her husband just says had a sore throat and can't talk for days now and caught the tail end of it, so.
Okay.
All right.
The other thing, you feel something coming on. The two-pronged solution, warm salt water, gargle it, go back as far as you can in your throat. Do that three or four times a day. Then, of course, tea, your tea of choice, and honey, a good honey to soothe it. That helps. And then ultimately, if you have to talk, now this is not for everyone because some people don't have to talk in their job that much. McCormick does, I do. Then that's where the pineapple juice, we told Jim Jordan, should have been speaker in my mind when he was right there at the center of it. We have a big picture of a giant thing of pineapple juice and a straw, and I think they watered it down. Water it down. You can't drink a lot of pineapple juice.
Heartburn.
Your tongue will have little ulceration going on there. Yeah, it'll burn you. It's too harsh, but water it down. Swill it around a little bit. And when I first started talk radio, it worked. People told me that. I tried it. It cuts through the phlegm. It actually opens it up a bit. And that's my diagnosis is that's what McCormick has. You can be in perfect health. Your throat's not really sore. It's just that you have a little bit of phlegm. It catches on the vocal cords. You're talking, even you're at events. And people keep talking at you, and it's over top of music and everything else, and you try to talk back to them. Even a whisper type of thing, like an exaggerated whisper, it puts a lot of strain on it. You do that for 3 or 4 days, and God knows, a powerful senator from Pennsylvania, how many people you meet, and it's going to cause some difficulty. All right, on Twitter, several people making pretty good rebuttal. That's fine with me. To what I said about J6, I hear some of the arguments, but I think we're ignoring that, well, for example, saying it was entrapment. I think people were going to storm the castle that day. Some of these people were. True, we haven't gotten to the bottom, and this is where Cash Patel and the FBI comes in. Why were none of these informants who were not on the clock that day, and it's hard to say how many, in other words, they weren't there spying for the FBI, why did they come there to do that? Could they be charged with something also? All right, but entrapment only goes so far. I mean, if you're attacking a cop in the middle of that, that's not going to get you off on entrapment. Entrapment might be the original act of entering. You might be able to make an argument around that. I just would like to hear somebody from the Trump team who oversaw this, how they came up with this judgment. So is the judgment in the end? Look at the George Floyd summer, essentially. And here in Philadelphia, remember the woman that set fire to two police vehicles? She brought flame retardant gloves and all that. If Bill McSwain didn't get her and put her in jail for 7 years, she didn't serve that. She should have gotten 40.
She went with the bike, the bicycle?
No, this was the woman on Etsy.
Oh, that's right. Her.
That he tracked down through Etsy, yes. And even then, she didn't get that type of harsh sentence. So is the argument, well, look at the potential unfairness out there. Just forgive everybody. I'm not on that side of it. I'm not condemning it if you are on that side of it. I'm on the side that says there's 1,000 people or more who were overcharged, overpunished, shouldn't have gotten anything. Specifically, aside from the grand scheme of things, of how nobody gets charged with anything. I would stake that case by case. That's the truth. But there were people who were involved in trying to organize this. And that's some of the cases where, well, I think 6 were commuted. Realize that. That kind of looks at my point that the Trump people did not pardon everybody. 6, and I'm waiting to see who those 6 are, were only commuted. Not sure why. So 855-839-1210, you'll get on board. AT&T and Verizon Wireless, all you have to do is just push #1210. Jim Worthington, our host yesterday, will be with us a little bit later on. He was one of the 600 people or so in the Capitol Rotunda, and he had dinner with RFK Jr. on Saturday night. We'll give you a little bit of that conversation. The Inquirer's got a piece up today that right here in Pennsylvania, they're supportive of RFK Jr., at least some people, of a couple of chemicals that in Pennsylvania, Democrats and Republicans together, want these taken out. It wouldn't be until 2027. I think that's too long of a period of time. Should be by the end of this year. But I'll give you the details on that. And for my money, JFK Jr., is going to be the guy. I'm convinced he's going to make it. He's going to be confirmed. And if he sticks to things like this, he's going to have an impact as broad as any cabinet member we've ever seen. That's how big of a revolution this guy will be able to do. Can he do that? You know, the confirmation hearing is going to be rough. They'll go back over some previous statements, etc. But the pivot on what's in food, particularly with kids and particularly suburbanites. This is a whole new crop of people to check the box to say, this is the Trump administration. Look at what they're doing for you. Parents need help because of all these elements out there. We're taking them out. All right, 855-839-1210. Jump on board. Coming to your calls next on Talk Radio 1210.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT.